Well, let me say it's an honor to be here tonight, and what a blessing it is to not only be in service with you, to see our dear friend again, your pastor, how we love him, and he's always been so gracious to us when we've been on vacation in years past. And Marsha and I, we retired from the ministry, or from the pastorate, not the ministry, but the pastorate, last August, and just been taking some time off and preaching out, and decided we wanted to come to Florida again and get away for a few days. And we love your state. It's beautiful. And we've enjoyed our time thus far. This past year, Marsha and I, in August, the 1st of August, we celebrated our 51st wedding anniversary. You believe that she's been married to me better than 50 years. And she was 10 and I was 15 when we got married. And we are from West Virginia. I want you to know that. And but she is not my cousin. I promise that. And we're not related. But we thank the Lord for what God has done in our life and given us two beautiful children, and both serving the Lord, and now grandchildren that are serving the Lord. What a blessing it is to have grandchildren. Amen. How many are grandparents? Let's see. Would you raise your hand all over the room? Someone told me a long time ago, Pastor, that your grandchildren are your reward for not killing your children. And I'm thankful we did not do that. And now we're a great grandparent. I told him we was already great, but we have a great grandchild. Scott has been here several times, I know, in days gone by. And so he's a pawpaw now. What a blessing that is. Thank you for the reading of God's word. And again, Pastor, the opportunity to be here tonight. And as we look at this passage of scripture, I'd like for you to underscore, if you would please, in verse number 10, the phrase, "But the God of all grace." But the God of all grace. We must keep in mind, when this book was written, there was great persecution under Nero that was going on. And Peter probably was executed sometime after this by Nero. But the theme of this entire book is about the sufferings of Christ, the sufferings of a Christian. And we recognize that our Savior suffers. He suffered for us, bled and died on Calvary's cross for us. And as Christians, we also recognize that we too are going to go through times of valleys and times of heartache and trouble, and yes, times of sufferings. But I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ has promised us that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And if He's the originator of my faith and the concluder of my faith, then He knows everything in between. And God doth all things well. And He did promise us that He would never leave us nor forsake us. I'm glad we have the scripture that reminds us that when He says, "My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And so when we talk about this grace of God, no matter what we may face in life, we're reminded again that God is always there, and thank God for it. And God's grace is not only available for us at salvation, but as we serve the Lord, as we follow Him. Our family verse many years ago when we were married in 1973 came from Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. And the Lord says, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And the Lord wants us to keep on coming. He wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. He wants us, again, to grow in this faith that we could be used to lead others to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I did not start out to be a preacher. I was brought up in a preacher's home, a Christian's home. And someone said a long time ago, "Well, how was it to be raised in a preacher's home?" I was literally raised on drugs. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning, drug on Sunday night, drug on Wednesday night, many times a revival. I remember when I was like in the second or third grade in Milton, West Virginia, there was a revival that lasted 6 weeks, 6 weeks of revival under an old tent in our backyard. My daddy started a church in our house and set up a tent. And when I think about those days, God was using all of that, no doubt, to prepare us to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's that unconscious preparation that the Lord has going on in all of our lives. And it's an amazing thing how God can take even the worst of situations that we would go through in life itself to prepare us for another day, to prepare us for another time that we would face and possibly that we could be a comfort to those that are in any trouble. It's amazing how God works. But the Apostle Paul, regarding the trials and heartaches, he says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "And for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory." He goes on and says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And so we recognize again that God is in charge of it all, and His grace not only saves us, but keeps us day by day. And so this phrase, when He says again, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." This is a very simple message and thought coming from God's word as Peter writes, and I want to focus in on these last four phrases, again, or words: perfect, establish, and strengthen. Notice again, he says, "settle you," excuse me. But the God of all grace is what he's speaking of. First of all, when we see this word perfect, we recognize that he's talking about complete. I'm glad that when I got saved, I got all of him. Amen. I got all of him immediately. I may not have realized it, but may we recognize that when Jesus Christ saves us, he saves us for his honor, for his glory, to be used by him. That's why the Lord desires that we would continue to follow him and again to yield ourselves to him and the leading of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. And so we see this word complete. The Bible says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 48. And so he reminds us here that there is a development that is going on, that there's growing in the Lord. There is a state of maturity. Unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians that just stay baby Christians. But the Lord desires, it's his desire for each of us, that we would continue to grow and mature in the faith and to be used by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible reminds us throughout the Word of God that oftentimes God allows things to happen in our life to draw us closer to himself. And there's things that are going on in my mind right now that I can think of things that we went through in our own life. Little did we realize that God was preparing us for something much greater than where we were. I was 22 years old when my father passed away at the age of 57. Daddy was an old-time mountain West Virginia preacher out of the hills of Logan County, West Virginia, Hatfield-McCoy country. But going to church barefooted with a slingshot in his back pocket and a big old family Bible. And on the way home from church, he would shoot the neighbor's chickens and be in trouble for that. But he was just a kid. But my father served the Lord faithfully all those many years from the time of a teenager and then unfortunately passed away when I was 22 years of age at the age of 57. As I look back, I realize that God allowed us to go through some things in our life to prepare us for something even greater. And we could always have 20/20 hindsight, can we not, and look back. But understand, he doth all things well. The Bible reminds us that his ways are perfect. The scripture is perfect. The Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Whether you're a Christian sitting in this pew, serving somewhere in this ministry, or a pastor, or a missionary, whatever the case may be, God again desires that we continually grow in him. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus when he says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And so we recognize that as a Christian, as we read this passage of scripture, when he says perfect, that he may make you perfect. Simply this, that we're all complete in Christ. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Then we can say from the Word of God that it says perfect. Now we realize that none of us are perfect. And sometimes we may act like we're perfect, but my wife, she often will remind me that I'm not. Amen? But we realize that he's talking here in this passage that it's complete. There's nothing else I need to do for salvation. However, because of salvation, I should have a desire to continually to grow in Him and to serve Him and be available to whatever God has called us to do. By the way, you'll never know the will of God until you do the will of God. It's just about being obedient to what you know to do. And he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, the Bible says, to him it is sin. And so we recognize that he's talking about after that you have suffered a while and make you perfect. And then he says, establish. Establish. What does he mean? He's speaking about confidence, about having confidence, not in ourselves. There's no confidence in the flesh, but having confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have the confidence in the Lord? Do we realize and accept the fact that he doth all things well? And no matter where we may be in our life, knowing that God is in charge and God has a perfect plan as we continually following him by simple faith. And so as you read this passage of scripture, he says he'll make you not only complete in him or perfect, but he says he'll also establish or give you that confidence. And Paul reminds us in Philippians 3:3 that there's no confidence in the flesh. And the Bible reminds us in Proverbs 3, verse 26, for the Lord shall be thy confidence. We all like to feel like we've got a little bit of confidence in our life. But I want you to realize tonight that there's no confidence that's really what it needs to be in Christ Jesus unless it comes from the Lord himself. God gives us that confidence. I can do all things, again, through Christ which strengtheneth me. About knocking on someone's door and telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ, passing out a tract or witnessing to someone else, praying in public or whatever that it may be. God has a plan for all of us. God wants to use all of us. And it's just about yielding ourselves to him. Notice, would you please, in James chapter 5, as we speak about this passage of scripture from 1 Peter, when he says perfect and established, notice what he says in James 5 in verse number 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, our hearts, he's saying, for the coming of the Lord is nigh. And so he reminds us that we're to establish our hearts. For he says in chapter 1 of James that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And so he desires again that we be firmly rooted in the Word of God and that our confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ, established in him and in his Word. The Bible reminds us as well, as Paul writes to the church at Corinth, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your what? That your work, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We recognize again that God does all things well. And oftentimes we have a question mark as to what God is doing. But we know again that God is in charge of it all. And it's about giving it to him. I'm reminded just now, for many years, Marcia and I, after we got married, we were obedient to the Lord, trying to serve the Lord, going on soul winning, working a bus route, teaching Sunday school. The children were starting to grow up, and we just have a son and a daughter, and both are serving the Lord, and thank the Lord for that. But I remember those early days of the children growing up, how God kept dealing with my own heart. And I was in the business world and was making good money and had a career, and God was working in all of that. But I was reminded again, as I said a moment ago, about Matthew 16:24, when he says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, to keep on coming. And I remember, after being with the company for a number of years, that right in the middle of that, God called me to preach. I was almost going to be like the Fonz, if you remember, on Happy Days, when he couldn't say sorry, and I couldn't say when I was telling my wife that God was calling me, I couldn't get it out, that God was calling me to preach. And honey, I remember that night very well, whenever you and I talked, I was in bed tossing and turning, and finally sit up in the bed, turn the light on, and told her, I've got something I've got to tell you. Well, she's thinking something horrible has happened. And I told her with tears in my eyes that I believe God's calling me to preach. She cried with me, wept with me. We got down beside the bed and committed ourselves to the Lord. I was 33 years old. We'd been married for 11 years. The kids were small. But I recognize as I look back, Pastor, someone told me a long time ago, I believe it was Dr. Tom Malone, who said the choices we make today determine who we are tomorrow. It's a good statement. But may I go one step farther? The choices we make today also determine who our children are tomorrow. And the Lord says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The Lord says, I want you to keep on coming. We find in this passage of Scripture, he reminds us that he'll make you perfect. That's complete in him. He reminds us that he'll establish you, give you the confidence that you need. No confidence in the flesh, but again, our strength comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we keep coming, notice what he says. Then he says, strengthen, strengthen. Those four words in verse number 10 of 1 Peter 5. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. But notice, not only perfect or complete, but he says establish you, giving you confidence, not in self, but in the Lord. And then would you write the third one down? When he says strength, he speaks of our courage that God gives us. Courage to knock on a stranger's door and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Courage to pass out a gospel tract. Courage to stand before a class and teach, or to sing in the choir, or to sing a special. Courage to be used by the Lord. And again, to surrender all to him. Peter reminds us, as we give all to the Lord, it's by the grace of God. He starts with that. But God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered for a while. He's speaking here again about going through some valley. Could it be that there are those in this room that are going through some valley now? We know that the Lord has promised us that he would go with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. But could it be that God has us come to some low point in our life that we would yield all to him? As we read this passage, he says, not only make you perfect, or again, complete, establish you, and not only give you the confidence, not within self, but in God who's in charge of it all. But then write down the third one, would you please? You'll see when he says strength, the courage that God gives us. David writes again in Psalm 27 in verse number 1, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? Down in verse number 14, he says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall what? Strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It's about drawing strength from the omnipotent one. I can do all things. Can you say it with me? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And again, mommy would say, can't never could do nothing. But we could do much as we yield ourselves unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about waiting on the Lord. Joshua reminds us in Joshua 1 verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Colossians 3, you're there close. Look at this passage of Scripture, chapter 1, verse number 13. Paul writing, he says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, from the power of darkness. And down in verse 23, he says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Colossians 1, verse 23. And so we realize that our faith is in the Lord. No question about it. But our courage also is from the Lord. That's where we gain strength, when we give ourselves completely to him. And so this one little verse that has stuck out to me so many times, and Peter says, after you've suffered. I'm glad there's an after. No doubt as I look across this room, there have been those that have gone through the valley of the shadow of death. Those, again, that have lost loved ones, those that have had sickness in your home or whatever the case may be. And it's an amazing thing how that God can just give us a peace as a Christian, a child of God, even in those days. But as I look back to the hour when my father passed away at 57, I realize again that God was doing more than just giving us comfort and giving us peace that we're going to see him again. But he was challenging each of us. As we yield ourselves to the Lord, God wants to use all of us. And reminds us in this passage of Scripture that as we yield to him and follow him, Peter says he'll make you perfect or complete. He'll make you establish or give you that confidence that you need. And he'll give you that strength, that courage that we all need. And then lastly, would you notice what he says? Settle you. Settle you. We're talking about the God of all comfort, who is able to comfort us in our tribulation, that we may be a comfort to those that are in any trouble. I've written down not only settle you, but the comfort that God can give us. You see, it all starts with the foundation, and that's serving Christ, trusting Christ rather, and then serving him. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, we're familiar with this passage. We learned it in Sunday school. A wise man which built his house, what? Upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Why? Because it was founded upon the rock. The question is, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Are you 100% sure if you were to die right now that heaven would be your home? Would you say amen? Oh, doesn't that sound good? Let's say it again. Isn't that a wonderful thing? A house full of people who know the Lord. But maybe there was one in the group or someone maybe listening by the live stream that does not know Christ as your Savior. I want you to know he died for you. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And as a Christian, by the way, we're all reminded of what he's done for us and what he yet wants to do for us as we follow him and yield to him completely. We all have troubles, no doubt, in our lives. Someone said a long time ago, you're either in trouble, you've just come out of trouble, or you're about to face some trouble. Job understood what trouble was, and he says, man that is born of a woman in a few days is what? Full of troubles. But Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5 and 6 reminds us that trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy path. Even in the midst of trials and trouble, may we be reminded that God is our refuge and strength. He is our very present help in time of trouble. He is the God of all comfort, who is able to comfort us in our tribulation, that we would be a comfort to others that are in tribulations or trials. Trials, Peter writes, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you, but rejoicing. He tells us to rejoice, even in the midst of trouble and trials, that we're to rejoice in the Lord. Be glad with exceeding joy. Only the Lord can do that in a person's heart. Tribulation, we're all going to have it. Temptation is coming as well. By the way, if the devil never bothers you, my daddy said to me a long time ago, he already has you right where he wants you. But when you're yielding to the Lord, and serving the Lord, and being obedient to the Lord, that's when the devil's going to fight. Can I get a hearty amen right there? Not that we like that, but we understand that's the way it works. But even through that, God uses all of that, that we would draw closer to him and that we would be used by him. He reminds us again, John 17, verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one, or from evil, he says, the evil. And knowing that God wants to use us, he not just wants to save us, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But he desires again that we yield ourselves to him and to be used by him. The verse is very simple. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10. But the God of all grace, that's where it all begins right there. That's why we can be hopeful in him, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. Make you perfect. Would you say it with me? Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's stand, would you please? Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God, a very simple thought, no question. To believers who are in this room and many for many years, and we thank you, Lord, for these faithful Christians. Thank you for this church, for this dear pastor. And Lord, we all realize that we're not home yet. And you want to work in our hearts, our lives, these ministries, for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, we believe that your coming is soon. Help us as Christians to yield ourselves to you completely. And may we continue to follow you and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior and to be used by you. Our heads are bowed and no one's looking around. Just by an uplifted hand, can we all say in this room today, just by giving honor and praise to the Lord by raising our hand, I'm a child of God and I want to thank him for saving my soul. Would you raise your hand with mine all over this room? A child of God. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful sight? Maybe as you raise your hand, God spoke to your heart about something in your life or some area God's been speaking to you about serving him. May we be obedient to the Lord. And certainly, should there be one in this room that is not where they need to be, I'm glad that God is a forgiving God. And God is able to renew our faith and to strengthen us. Thank God for that. Maybe there's one in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not certain if you were to die right now that you'd go to heaven. The pastor and I are looking on while we're all praying. And you'd say, in all honesty, I'm not sure if I were to die right now, I would go to heaven. Just lift your hand up and take it right back down. No one's coming back to you, but we want to pray for you. Is there one like that tonight, anywhere in this room? Just lift your hand up and take it right back down. How many in this room would raise your hand with mine and say, I have loved ones, I have family, I have friends, neighbors, co-workers that do not know Christ. Would you please pray with me, Pastor, that I would be the witness to them? May we raise our hands all over the room, Pastor.